One of the questions that comes most often to me, and probably to other pastors as well, is the question of prayer. Just recently, I had someone tell a little story, and they said, you know, I was developing this relationship with a person who had been coming to church, and she's actually from a different country. And she was here in St. Petersburg for a period of time, and she started coming to church. And this one of our members befriended her. And one day, the individual was in need of prayer, and so asked the good friend that had become a good friend as they had sat together in worship and so forth, and the visitor said, "Would you pray with me?" And the person did, I think, what many of us would do. They said, "Let me find the pastor." "No," the person replied, "I want you to pray with me." Have you ever had an experience where someone asked you to pray out loud for them? Or to lead a group in prayer? And were you terrified out of your mind? Yeah, you can raise your hand about that. One of the things that terrified me most when I first started working in a church as I was in seminary was the whole idea that I was going to have to lead community prayer in a worship service. Terrified me. I wasn't as afraid of preaching as I was of praying, of leading a congregation in prayer. You know, and I know we make it look so easy. Practice does make perfect, I think. But I think many of us would say, "Oh, no, no, no. I'm not very good at prayer, so please don't ask me to do that." In the first century, when Jesus was leading his disciples, the disciples knew that other teachers, other rabbis, other leaders who had disciples, often asked their rabbi, their teacher, their leader to teach them how to pray. And actually, there were set prayers that would be said in the morning and in the evening. And as a religious person, you would learn those prayers, and there were long versions and there were short versions, so that you would know what to say when you prayed. And in the scripture passage from Luke, the disciples, some of whom had known John, who we know as the Baptist, or the baptizer, some of Jesus' followers had left John to follow Jesus. And they knew that John had taught his disciples to pray. He had given them something to say to God. And so they asked Jesus for the same thing. The other piece for me is this, I think, is that not only had they known that John gave a prayer for his disciples, they also watched Jesus. You know, and as followers of Jesus, I hope we're doing the same thing. We watch Jesus through the Gospels. We watch what he said, where he went, what he did. Because we desire to have an example of someone to follow. And so, as the disciples watched Jesus, they saw that over and over again, he prayed. He would stop whatever it was he was doing, and he would pray. And sometimes he left them by themselves and went off somewhere to pray. And so one of the disciples says to Jesus, "Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." Something about Jesus's praying was different. It was something they wanted to emulate, that they also wanted to do. And so Jesus said, "Sure." You might say, "Listen up." I'd say, "Listen in. Listen in as I pray so that you can learn how to pray." And he begins with one word in Aramaic. We have translated it as Father. But one time when I was in Tel Aviv and I was on the beach, I watched and listened as families came to the beach and the children were running up and down and they would call out to their fathers. It was kind of like, "Look at me, Abba, 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 Daddy, Daddy." You know, that sense of family and intimacy. Now, I know not everyone has good images of fathers. Some of us don't have good images of mothers either. Amen? But what Jesus was getting at was this sense of intimacy and closeness. Now, I think the church in some ways has done a disservice to us by talking about the nature of God. You know, God out there somewhere. But when Jesus prayed, he said, "Abba, Abba." That sense of intimacy and closeness with God. Not that God is our buddy, because Jesus follows that one word up with, "Holy be your name. Holy be your name." So there's this sense of closeness and intimacy as well as reverence, of holiness. One of the things that we teach in creating a life that matters is to get to an image of God that works for you. You know, because so many of us have grown up with images of God that as we get into adulthood don't work at all. You know, we have this image of an angry God, one that's just waiting for us to make a mistake. He'll come down on us. But if you look at Jesus, that's not the image that he had of God at all. He knew God as close as his breath, and so can we, but with a reverence. Creator doesn't quite work. Sovereign doesn't quite work. All of us, I think, have to decide for ourselves what works for us. You see, that's because prayer is a personal thing, isn't it? It's a personal thing. It's about your personal relationship with the Creator of all that is. Can you imagine? I can only imagine that intimacy, that reverence. So we don't get to that image of God unless we sit in the presence of God with our hearts open to experience that presence for ourselves. Jesus continued on. He said, "Abba, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, we sing those words each week. What do they really mean? Jesus was all about preaching God's reign on earth. That was his central message. If you look at everything that he did, he was about making God's presence, God's reality, our reality. And when we look at the world around us, it's pretty clear we haven't gotten there yet. Amen? What would it be like in our world if God's reign really took hold? Can you imagine? There would be no poor. There would be no homeless. There would be no war. Can you imagine? When we pray those words, we're saying, "God, this is what I believe. Use me as your instrument to allow your reign to take place on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help me be a part of that, God. Give us this day our daily bread." Whenever I pray that, I go back to the image of the people of Israel in Sinai as they're wandering and wondering how they're going to eat. And God says, "I got this." every morning, your need will be supplied. And every morning, they called it manna, manna from heaven. Manna appeared so that they could eat in the desert. And they were worried, you know, about the one day when they weren't supposed to gather because it was the Sabbath day. And so on the day before that, God provided a double portion so they could get through. Give us this day our daily bread. It really is about bread. It is about the very staple of life. And if we ask God to provide it for us, my heart says, in what way am I helping to provide it for others? It's an acknowledgement to God that we have very basic needs that God can supply. Basic needs. We're not asking for pink Cadillacs. Praise the Lord. I know, in a sermon once long ago, I said something about a purple Cadillac, and the next Sunday, a purple Cadillac appeared. It was one of those little tiny cars, you know, that somebody had painted purple. I still have it in my office somewhere all these years later. An acknowledgement of our basic needs. And then Jesus gets really personal. Forgive us. What that says is we are in need of forgiveness all the time. Forgive us. And when we sing this, we tend to stop and take a breath. I don't know, you probably have never noticed, I don't stop and take a breath when I sing this phrase. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, however it is you learned it growing up. It's about being willing to forgive, being willing to forgive others. If you want God's forgiveness, don't you know that God says, well, then you also need to forgive, to forgive others? I want to tell you that this is a great habit to form. It's a hard one. How many of us hold on to stuff about other people? That person done me wrong, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all the grudges that we hold, all the things. Over the last couple of days, we were in a network gathering up at MCC Tampa, and we had a great time. And it, for me, it's always so wonderful to get together with colleagues and friends from, and this in this case was all over, from all over the state of Florida. No, but there was one person that I knew going into that network gathering that I needed to take aside. And I needed to ask for that person's forgiveness. Because I had done something that I needed to be forgiven for. And you know how hard that is? You know, have you ever had to do that? Anybody? Yeah. No. Because you knew you did something wrong, to have to ask for forgiveness. And the forgiveness was given. Forgive us our sins, God, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation. Now, does God really do that? I don't think so. But are we tempted? Do we need deliverance from evil? All the time. God, protect me. Protect me. Now, that doesn't mean that bad stuff's not going to happen in your life, you know, when you pray, you know. You know it does, you know, all the time. I remember when I got the phone call from my doctor, said, well, by the way, you've got breast cancer. All right. So what are we going to do about it? You know, just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean that bad stuff's going to stay away. You know? Somehow I'm in a protected class. Nope. Not at all. I'm a human being just like everybody else. And I fall down and I get up. And stuff comes. Stuff comes. But you know, I had a sense of joy through that. Because I know I have a community of faith that prayed for me through it all. So many people at the network gathering would come up to me and they say, are you okay? I thought to myself, am I giving signals that I'm not? I said, I'm great. I'm doing great. Excited. Got some good plans for the future. You know, the clergy got together. You know, it was like, are you okay? I said, I'm great. Doing fine. Not ready to give up yet. Not at all. Not at all. You see, what Jesus gave his disciples and gives us is really a community prayer. It's a community prayer. He gave it not just to one person, but to all of them. And they learned it and passed it on and passed it on and passed it on and passed it on. The prayer envisions, one person has said, a community that journeys with God and looks to God for everything from food to forgiveness. One person has said, not everyone is good at prayer. Good in quotation marks. Not everyone's good at prayer, but this is a place to start. Yeah, this is a place to start. So if you don't know how to pray, and if it's something that you kind of go, ooh, who do you know God to be? Start there. Who do you know God to be? Closer than your breath, than your breathing. Creator of all that is. Holy. Holy. So you come into the presence of God with arms outstretched. Holy. Grateful God for who you are. For us, for me. God, help me to be a part of making your reign happen on earth. Thank you for taking care of me every day. Every day. I don't have to worry about tomorrow so much. God's got that. Help me to forgive. As I know I have been forgiven. Let me say that again. Help me to forgive others as I have been forgiven by God. It really is about relationship. Relationship with God. So over and over and over again, we ask, God, Jesus, teach us to pray. And we thank God that we have a model to start with. Amen.
Amen.
God, thank you. Because so many of us are really not sure how to approach you. We're somewhat scared of you at times, and yet we bask in your presence, and we lift our voices in praise, and our arms in gratitude. Thank you for giving us Jesus, who was willing to teach us, his disciples, how to reach out to you for everything. And he helped us to understand our needs and how we can be Jesus for others. So, Abba, holy be your name. May your reign on earth come. May it be on earth as it is in heaven. And thank you for giving us our daily bread. Help us to feed others from our abundance. May we receive your forgiveness. And may our hearts be open to forgive others, just as we have received mercy and grace from you. And in those times of temptation and when evil seems all around, may your spirit protect our spirits, so that we might not lose faith in you, but might have the strength that we need to get through. Thank you. And when we say amen, God, know that we are asking that it be so. Amen and amen.